Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Let's go straight to the Director of Nursing in the nursing home in Galway. We're not naming it at this stage. Patricia McGowan. Patricia, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Patricia, first of all, I'm so sorry that this has befallen you and your beloved residents in the nursing home. Where are you at the moment? Are you in isolation as well, Patricia?
I am. I'm at home in isolation. Ah. I tested positive along with everybody else.
And what, as we speak now, at 10, just come up to 10 minutes to 2, what is happening in the nursing home as far as you know? There are many residents.
At the moment, we have 24 residents in house. One gentleman died yesterday.
Yeah.
We have two transferred to hospital today, and that's left us with the remainder.
And of those 24, how many have tested positive for COVID, Patricia?
We have two negative residents, that's all.
So 22 out of 24?
Yep.
Left. And how many staff are there at the moment?
We're currently down to the bare bones, Joe, to be honest with you. We have a nurse and a carer on duty at the moment. They're working 13-hour shifts.
Oh my God. The
remainder of the staff have tested positive. I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't know how the girls down there are coping. They have to be just running on adrenaline at this stage because they have nothing else. They haven't even time to go outside and take a breath of air. And
so at the minute in the nursing home, there's one nurse and one carer. And where are they on their shift? Are they near the end of their shift?
They won't be finished till 9 o'clock tonight, Joe.
And what time did they start at, Patricia?
8 o'clock this morning.
And what was during the night, how many staff were on?
We got help from the HSE for the night.
Okay.
They did send us a nurse during the night, but they promised us carers for this morning and they never materialised. And
okay,
you know, we didn't even get a phone call to say that they weren't coming. That, you know, we were. I'm devastated. I can't put it into words how helpless we all feel. And we felt that we were going to get help, and it just hasn't transpired. And you know, our residents are down there, and we're trying to keep them alive. I'm sorry, I don't usually cry.
No, you're
but
okay.
We're trying to keep them alive and well, and we really feel abandoned. That's the truth.
Yeah. And when did you first contact the HSE and say, our nursing home is in serious, serious trouble?
Since we got the results, since we got the test results, because so many of the staff went down as positive.
Yeah. Which was when, Patricia, sorry?
The results pretty much started coming in to us 9 o'clock Tuesday night.
Okay.
And we've been in contact with everybody on a daily basis, HSE, HICWA, everybody. We've been on a number of times throughout the day. We're in contact with them all. And I have to say that HICWA have been very supportive to us. They're trying to advocate on our behalf to ensure that we get the help that we need. But it just hasn't transpired. And we really and truly are at our wits' end. I mean, I've tested positive. Mm-hmm. I don't feel 100%. I'm not bedridden or anything. I feel that if I had to, I could go down there and care for people, but I just can't. I'm not allowed to do that. And we feel completely and utterly helpless.
And Patricia, what was the staff situation yesterday during the day?
Yesterday was the same. That same nurse worked a 13-hour shift. That same carer worked a 13-hour shift. The girl that worked the previous night, the carer that worked the previous night, she stayed on for a couple of hours in the morning, but she was back on again last night. So, you know, these girls can't do this indefinitely. They can't. They'll get sick themselves. And then where are we? We have literally nobody then. And we have those residents down there looking to us to care for them and to keep them safe and well. And we're not in a position to do that.
And I don't want to obviously go into individuals, but of the 22 out of 24 residents who have tested positive for COVID, Do you know what their general situation is? Are they like you, Patricia, unwell, feeling unwell, would love to do more but can't? Do we know? Obviously, they're of a different age cohort, I presume.
They are, Joe, yeah.
No, like...
I suppose it's like any nursing home. There's some of them well, some of them not so well. I can't be more specific than that. It's just, it's the worry of it. It's the worry of where this virus will go next. What will it do to those residents next? I just can't even get the words out. I feel so frustrated and so helpless and so alone in it, really. We're alone. We're like a little island down there in the middle of rural Ireland, and nobody cares that we're looking after somebody's mum and dad and granddad and granny. I mean, that could be my mum or my dad. And, you know, would I like to be told? I mean, the feedback we get from the people that are supposed to give us assistance is, don't panic, leave it with me. Well, I'm sorry now, but we're looking after all these older people who are ill. And yes, we're panicking. No, we can't leave it with you. If it was your mother in the bed, would you be happy with that answer from the nurse? You wouldn't. Who would? And yet we're supposed to be able to just accept that as the way it is. You know, I thought, you know, our residents, yes, they're in a private nursing home. They're not in the public system, but they are citizens of this country. Yeah. And this country has an obligation to look after them. They've contributed to this country for decades, and now nobody cares. What kind of civilized society is that?
And Patricia, do the families know? I know.
Yes, all of the families know. They've all been informed.
Okay. And have you? You say what you're getting from HSE is words, not action.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, they sent us help last night. And that was wonderful. That was absolutely wonderful.
And what was the nature? How many staff did they send last night?
They sent us a nurse and a carer last night, which was hugely, hugely helpful. It really took the pressure off, because that nurse that was on yesterday for the 13 hours, she didn't know she was going to get to go home at the end of that shift, because she didn't know if there was going to be anyone to cover. Now, thankfully, she got that help and she went home. But she was promised help for this morning and she just didn't get it. And, you know, that girl can't work herself into the ground.
Exactly. And Patricia did, and you're speaking, given the illness that we're talking about now, I know thankfully the vast majority of people survive and come through it. But when did COVID first emerge in the nursing home?
We were tested last Monday because we had a resident who had gone into hospital on the previous weekend and had tested positive. So that kind of sparked a test for the rest of us.
And
that is our first experience with it.
And had that resident gone into hospital with a COVID suspicion or on another issue?
Just the lady wasn't well.
Okay. And she tested positive, and then the nursing home, you were all tested on Monday of this week.
Yes.
It's now Thursday. And that's when the devastating news came back.
Yeah.
Okay, in the first lockdown and the first surge of COVID, how did you fare, Patricia?
We had no cases, staff or residents. We had no cases. This is our first experience of it. And we had contingency plans in place, you know, if a certain number of staff went off or we had to redeploy staff and that kind of thing. We did all of that. We had it all in place. We had all our infection control in place. But we didn't envisage that 90, 95, whatever it is, percent of the staff would be taken out with this.
Yeah. And how many staff?
There is no contingency plan that will cover that.
Yeah. What are the options, Patricia?
I don't know, because the HSE directed us to seek agency assistance, seek agency nurses, agency carers. We tried that. They aren't out there. There is nobody. Yeah. The agencies are telling us they don't have anybody.
Okay.
And the HSE are aware of that. We've told them that.
But Dr. Martin Daly made the point earlier on with Claire that he said, but there's over, 120,000, I know they're all not medics, people in the HSE. Can the HSE not send people, but they can't because they did a deal with the unions way back at the beginning that nobody could be sent against their will to a nursing home. They could volunteer to go if they got a second person to go with them. Have the HSE said, have they said we've nobody, only go for agency?
They said that our first port of call really was agency, try agency first. And that's what we've done, and there are no agency. So the HSE sent us that nurse last night, which, like I said to you, was great. But they promised two carers today and they didn't come.
And have you any idea why those two carers didn't show up?
No.
Am I speculating, man? If they said to each other, 24 out of 95% of people in this home have COVID, the majority of staff are at home after testing COVID positive, are we putting ourselves at too much risk going in?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the
HSE say, which I think that was the situation, the deal the unions did with them way back in March. If the HSE say we cannot force anyone to volunteer to go into your nursing home, what are your options?
No, they haven't said that to us. I mean, they told us that the agency was our first option. We tried that. We couldn't get anybody. We've tried ringing staff that have left the nursing home and gone on to other places to try and get them back. I mean, we've done all of those steps.
Okay.
And we got back to the HSE and we said, look, basically somebody has to help us. We have no one to mind these residents. And to all intents and purposes, they're telling us they're trying to find people. But the other side of that is that they told us they had people for us this morning and nobody came.
Yeah.
You know, and that's nearly worse than having no staff, ahead of time.
I can imagine the letdown at 5 past, 10 past, 9:15, when your two people there and you were told.
And they suddenly realise they're on their own again. And it's just uncivilised. It's uncivilised that older people in this country are just thrown aside and nobody cares enough to help us. You know, we're not looking for anything above and beyond. We just want our residents to stay safe, to stay well. And the bottom line is to stay alive, you know? That's all we want, Joe.
Patricia, I don't know whether you were following. In the first, you have enough to be doing, running and being director of nursing in a nursing home. But one of the nursing homes in Dundalk at one stage was in severe difficulties. And it's now emerged that the Army Medical Corps, who are highly qualified and highly experienced and obviously work under the direction of the Chief of Staff, that the Army Medical Corps were going to go in and help. How would that sound to you? Obviously, they're not in army outfits, obviously, but they are highly qualified and they are members of the Defence Force, so they can be told and they follow orders in the best sense of that word to go in and help.
I mean, that option or possibility hasn't been mooted to us. That hasn't been presented to us. I mean, all we want is someone that will care for our residents.
Yeah. Who's feeding them, Patricia? Who's cooking the food?
We have cooks, we have ancillary staff, they tested negative. It's just care staff and nurse staff that have been devastated, really. We have a cook on duty, that's fine, that's no issue. But
brilliant,
the problem is, Joe, that we have over 20 residents. A number of them need assistance with their meals. And two people just can't spread themselves that thin. And, you know,
for that duration, for what they've gone through yesterday, gone home, got a few hours sleep, if they managed to get a sleep, back in again, the disappointment of discovering that the two people that were going to come and help them for whatever reason didn't show up.
Yeah.
And then it's the not knowing. It's the not knowing. And that they're not just worried, I presume, about their 24 residents. They're also worried about their colleagues who are out sick.
Of course. And I mean, you know, nobody knows when this virus will end. And, you know, while you can run on adrenaline for a certain amount of time and you can say, well, it's only a week, I'll get through a week. Anyone can survive a week. But we don't know. We don't know. Is it a week? Is it a fortnight? Is it a month? 3 months? We don't know. And these girls aren't indestructible, you know?
Of course they're not. And this virus is so virulent and moves so quickly and can strike a lot of people very low. A lot of people are asymptomatic or whatever, but can strike low. Are you the, who's the owner of the nursing home, or who owns
I'm not the owner. Okay. There is a proprietor, but I'm not the owner. I'm just the director of nursing.
which is a really important and really onerous job as well, Patricia. Is it male, female? What's the makeup of the nursing home?
We have a lot of male, but it's probably about 50-50.
Okay. And is there generally... Like, is there a lot of activity? You know, some nursing homes are very quiet. Some nursing homes have a day room. It depends on the condition of the residents. Is it a busy nursing home? Do you follow me, Patricia?
We're a very settled nursing home in the sense that our residents have been with us for a very long time, the majority of them. So it's very settled in that we know the residents very well. They know us Brilliant. Very well. I suppose we've always tried to, keep it, all nursing homes will say they're a home from home. We're not. We're just, we strive to be as like home as we can. Yeah. And that's what we've done. We've tried to keep it home-like and let the residents do what they feel they want to do for the day or not do for the day, whichever they prefer. Yeah. So we try to run it in such a way that, in fact, we don't. The residents run it and we just work there. That's kind of our philosophy.
I know, sounds a lovely philosophy. How long has the nursing home been open, Patricia?
It's been open since 1996.
Okay, 25 years, coming up a quarter of a century.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a crisis? You haven't had a crisis this before.
No, never. We've never even had the winter vomiting bug or any of those kind of things.
So after doing so brilliantly in the first surge of COVID by keeping this awful virus out, you're suddenly laid low and this is a tsunami hitting the place. It's not.
It
hit you full on, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
And Patricia, I'm very conscious that you have tested positive for COVID, but what's your own situation? How long have you got to stay out for?
2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that just, to be honest with you, Joe, that adds to the stress because you're there to fix anything. You know, okay. I want to go down there. I want to help them. I want to fix something. I want to mind my residents. I want to get all of this sorted in whatever way I can get it sorted, and I can't.
And am I right in thinking there's been two deaths in the last 8 or 9 days?
No, one.
One, okay. And the woman that originally, or the resident that originally went to hospital on last Monday week, how are they doing?
She's still in hospital.
Okay. Please God, now she'll be. Is that an option to move everyone into a hospital, Patricia?
Well, I don't see what option we're going to have, Joe, if we don't get help. You know, one nurse and one carer can't work 24 hours a day every day. So I don't know. I mean, that would be down to the GPs to determine. But from our angle, what choice would we have if we had no one to look after them?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an absolute last resort. We don't want to do that. Yeah. The residents don't want that. Their families don't want that. And yet that's the only option that'll be open to us if we don't get the help.
And we dealt with a case here of a wonderful nursing home in Dublin that shut down during the lockdown, but not because of it. And the residents were deeply upset at the fact that they had to move after living for so long. So you
and rightly so. I mean, this is their home now. You know, if somebody arrived at your doorstep in the morning and said, "Listen, Joe, off you go down the road, you'd be devastated too. And a lot of residents don't survive a move like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's the simple fact. And we just want someone that will help us to keep these people alive. That's all we want.
So you'd accept help from any qualified people that our organisation is willing to help?
Yes, I think so. I think we'd have to say yes to that because we're just... There's no way around it. We're in dire straits at this given moment and our residents are our priority. And I know everybody says that and it sounds flippant,
no,
but that's the truth.
It never sounds flippant coming from someone like you, Patricia. Never, never sounds flippant coming from someone like you who's there for many, many years doing what you do day in, day out, night in, night out. Patricia, are any of the residents, would they have been allowed out of the nursing home to go visit the local town or whatever?
Before
before all of this happened, before the pandemic occurred. Yes, I mean, we tried to keep residents integrated into the local community, and there are some of them who would have liked to go home on a Sunday afternoon for Sunday dinner or whatever. They used to do that kind of thing when they were well enough to do it.
Well, the world has changed.
The world has changed beyond recognition.
Patricia, I'm so sorry this has befallen you and your wonderful nursing home. I don't want to burden you with other issues, but this story puts the whole thing back in, changes the tone of the debate in the last 24, 48 hours, which is why can't, and I know a lot of people are so genuine, why can't my gym stay open? Why can't my hairdresser stay open? Why can't, this story changes the tone nationally of what this virus can do.
It absolutely. And I mean, the focus is very much on what it can do to the elderly and what it can do to the infirm and all that kind of thing. And that's absolutely right. It can. I'm not elderly. I'm not infirm. I'm fit. I'm healthy. I work every day. And yet I've got it. Now, I have the symptoms of a head cold. I don't consider myself to be sick, per se. But it can hit anybody. It can hit anybody at any time. And you will be so floored when it does. That's all I can say, because I can tell you I was floored when it happened to me.
The most recent HICWA report on your nursing home. The feedback, this is HICWA, the independent inspector. The feedback received from your nursing home, Patricia, was overwhelmingly positive, with residents eager to inform the inspectors of the quality of life in the centre. Residents told the inspectors that they couldn't be happier and that they were well looked after. What a testimony to you and your colleagues.
I know we try really, really hard, Joe. We really do. We give our heart and soul to those residents, and we're crushed.
Statement just in from the HSE. The HSE are currently providing supports to a nursing home in East Galway. We presume that's you, Patricia. Yeah, what supports are they providing?
Well, like I said to you, the nurse that came last night and...
But as we stand now at 2:10, what support are the HSE providing?
They tell me that there'll be a carer in at 3:00 this afternoon.
The HSE infection and prevention and control nurse also attended the nursing home on Monday last and provided support and education for management and staff. The HSE is supporting the nursing home and is working to source staff.
Yes, an infection control nurse did attend the nursing home. And really and truly, she walked around the nursing home. She told us there were a certain number of areas that she looked at. She told us whether we were using the right bins or not. She told us about donning and doffing our PPE, which we all knew. She told us about appropriate hand sanitising and that kind of thing. That was the assistance she provided. Now, she was a very pleasant girl and everything, and I'm sure the staff... We're glad to have her input, but that's as far as it went.
Did you learn anything new?
No.
Additional supports, this is from the HSE, additional supports include the provision of staff from Roscommon Hospital.
Yeah, that was the nurse last night.
Who's gone now. She has to go. She can only work so long. Community Healthcare West and Saelta Hospital Group and staff are supporting the nursing home in the delivery of a safe and secure service.
Well, without putting too fine a point on it, Joe, we have to see that yet. I mean, we're promised a carer at 3:00 today, but we were promised two carers for this morning and they didn't materialise.
The HSE is also conducting a daily outbreak teleconferences with the nursing home.
That's correct, they are.
With who?
Exactly. I mean, this before my result came back positive, I sat in on one of their teleconferences. I since had to self-isolate. They've been holding the teleconference with the provider at the moment. Now, she had to go for testing again this morning because she developed symptoms.
Is that when you say the provider, do you mean the owner, so to speak?
Yes, that's fine. The only other member of staff down there, like I say, is the nurse. She's our clinical nurse manager, in fact. And where is she going to get the time to talk to people on the telephone? She's caring for all these sick people. You know, the important thing here is not the teleconference and yeah. you know, they know all of this information.
It's made out to be the solution here in this statement. The HSE infection prevention control nurse also attended nursing home on Monday last, provides support and education. You said that was someone who walked around and told you what you already knew about sanitizers and
She was very pleasant. She pointed us in a few different directions. Okay. Like our hand sanitizers weren't dispensing enough, so to make sure you get two squirts of it and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, she wasn't boots on the ground or anything. But it's more, and that's what we need.
It's more than two squirts of a hand sanitizer your nursing home needs this afternoon at 2:10 and has needed since Tuesday evening.
Yeah. Our nursing home needs staff. It needs people to keep our residents safe and alive. That's what it needs.
Okay. And you, I'm kind of, the bottom line is please, I'm paraphrasing, so check me, Patricia. Please let our residents stay in their home, not home from home, in their home, which is the nursing home at the minute. Please send in qualified staff, regardless of where they come from, once they're qualified and willing to go in and help.
Yeah. We just need someone to help us.
And please do it this afternoon.
Yeah, forthwith, really, because, like I say, that nurse and carer are down there at the moment. They've been there since 8 o'clock this morning. I'm sure at this point in the day they haven't even had a bite to eat. And they're due to be there till 9 o'clock tonight.
And, for example, I don't want to go into... But, Patricia, would all the residents be able to go to the bathroom on their own?
No, I mean, it's like any nursing home, Joe. Yeah. Some of the residents are, I suppose, essentially independently mobile. Some of them need assistance of two people. Now, if you have two people assisting one resident, that means the rest of them are unattended.
Yeah.
Because we only have two people.
Yeah. Again, from the HICL report, this is during the crisis, the pandemic. Residents described feeling very safe in the centre, especially in light of the current COVID-19 concerns. Now, would the residents know of the extent of the COVID infection in the home, in the centre? Do you follow me?
Some would be aware. Yeah. And again, I suppose like any nursing home, some residents wouldn't be as aware.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm worried about them. You are worried about them panicking.
And their families are worried. I mean, you know, we're all worried. We just need help. That's all we need.
Okay. Fred, Patricia, I'll let you go now because there's more important work to be done. Residents explained, this is a HICWA, that the staff kept them informed of all changes in relation to the restrictions in place to prevent the spread of infection. Residents stated that they were aware of the risk associated with the virus, but they felt that the staff were doing everything to keep them safe. And you did everything, but still this awful, awful virus got in and swept over you since we don't know when, but diagnosed on Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night. I hope somebody is listening, Patricia, that can help you immediately.
Me too, Joe.
And anyone who's listening could not doubt, one, the sincerity of what you're saying, the power of what you're saying, the passion, the commitment and the love you have for the people, your friends in that nursing home, be it those who are working with you as colleagues or those who are living with you, so to speak, as residents of that wonderful nursing home. Please look after yourself, Patricia. You have COVID and no one knows what way it's going to develop, though you're in a by your work and your words, you're an extraordinarily strong person. Thank you so much. And again, I'll finish where I began. I'm so sorry, Patricia. This has befallen you and the nursing home that you love so much and those wonderful residents. Condolences to the person who died and their family, to the family of the person who died. And I hope this afternoon you get the help that you so badly, badly need and you so eloquently have called out for, Patricia.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much.
You mind yourself now. Bye-bye. Breda, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Your mother was 87 on Saturday. She's in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And she tested positive for COVID.
That's right, yeah.
And you're listening to Patricia. I don't know how you... I found it very difficult listening to her describing the situation.
It's shocking, Joe. I think... And, you know, when this pandemic is over, I think there'll be an inquiry into how we treated our old people in nursing homes. People pay taxes and raise their families all their lives. And now just deserve to be happy and rest, you know. A lot of these people are in the final years and even months of their lives, and the way they're just being thrown aside by the state.
And what's the situation in your mother's nursing home?
Thankfully, I think most of them, there's been a cohort of them who tested positive in the last 3 weeks, 25, 26, I think.
Okay.
Most of them, thankfully, have been asymptomatic, including my mother. I think one or two did end up in hospital. I think at the time I was told by the director of nursing that the HSC were helping them out.
Okay.
But there's no doubt, you know, that this week and that they are under pressure, as most nursing homes, you know. But I just, you know, I just wonder, as far as I know, I think it's 56% of the deaths, you know, in the first wave of COVID were nursing homes in around that figure. And I just wonder, with the dip in the summer, the dip in numbers, you know, where was the contingency plan? You know, surely with HSC, you know, there's managers educated with degrees. And if you have a problem, you come up with a plan and you implement the plan, and it all summer. And it's just shocking the way, you know, old people in nursing homes have been just thrown aside. And
is your mother aware of the situation, Breda?
No. She's dementia, and what we get is, and the nursing home, we're delighted with the new nursing home. We changed nursing homes recently with her. And they do their best, but what we get is video calls, and she doesn't understand, you know.
And your extended family, because I see you've written here, I don't know whether I presume I can say it, you haven't even told your mum. I presume your mum isn't listening or isn't able to listen.
No.
You say, we haven't even told my mum that my father died.
He
died in July.
He was the carer, Joe. He was pure gold. You know? He did everything. He did the shopping, the cooking.
And
he wouldn't resign but his help. And he was helping, you know? And everything was fine until, you know, the 1st of May, I'll never forget it, Joe, Friday. 6:30 in the morning, the phone rang. And he got up at 6:30 every morning to wash the floor and, you know, to do things before she came down. He was so active, and he came down to the stairs, and he found it wasn't the stairs. He rang me, and I rang my brother, went over, and we had to call an ambulance, and she was in hospital most of the summer. And little did we know, you know, a couple of weeks after my mother fell, my dad just became ill. And he blamed the cocoon, and you know, because he was so fit, he walked 6 kilometres a day, he did everything for her. And he just blamed the fact that he couldn't get out and stretch his legs, and he wasn't allowed to be active.
And did his mood change during the cocooning?
Yeah, I think he felt guilty that my mother fell, and yeah, absolutely, he couldn't exercise, and that was always his thing. You know, when we were growing up, it was always, come on, get up, get out, get moving. He was such an active man and brilliant, just brilliant. And I still have his bag here that I got, you know, when somebody passes away in a hospital. And it's just sitting there by my sofa in one of the rooms, and I can't even look. You know, his dressing gown, his hearing aid, his glasses. And it's 3 months now. I can't
even
look at
it. Keep it close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When is the last time you've seen your mother?
I actually seen her because she was a new resident in the nursing home. They were great. They made an exception. So in full PPE, I got to see her about 5 weeks ago. I got the call then about a week later to say she tested positive for COVID. Yeah. And it's just actually, I emailed Joe because you had a lady on, Monica, the other day, who just, her mother's in a nursing home, and I think she's terminally ill and she can't see her. And I just think, you know, with so many, there's thousands of residents in nursing homes in this country sitting
there's
out of time.
There's over forward weather people. I know you get and I know the debate never happened in Ireland, and for various reasons, but it never happened. And the only option for many, many families was private nursing homes, full stop. That was the only option.
Yeah.
And there are over 400 private nursing homes now, and the vast majority of them run very well, despite what Anyone who's visited them know how well they're run in the main, given the difficulties. But that's, there are over 400 private nursing homes in Ireland, and they feel, well, listening to them over the last few months, they feel abandoned. That it was the public, the HSE, and they were only on this week saying, Tyke Daly was on of the Nursing Homes Ireland, saying staff are being poached by the HSE, and then the argument comes up. The union say, well, that's because they were, the money is better in the HSE. It's still not enough. The money is better. The rates are better. Sick pay, pensions, etc. Breda, I hope, I'm very, very struck by your description of your dad. I really am. I really am. And his strength must have come from, I know your mother became unwell and dementia and that, but his strength and his endurance, getting up at 6:30 to wash the floor before your mother came
he
down
got
the
up
stairs.
At 6:30 every morning,
where would
yeah.
you, where would you get it, Breda? Mm-hmm. Where would you get it?
He was brilliant.
And what age was he when he was doing this?
86. They were both born in the same week in 1933. And my mother will be 87 now on Saturday. Yeah, he did. And every Friday he cooked for about 10 people. He did the shepherd's pie or a stew, and we all turned up. And he did ask, you know, he was brilliant. And he passed away while my mother, they were both in the same hospital. They got to see each other, while they were there. And it was, yeah, it was just so sad, and we haven't accepted it really, you know. It's very sad. And my mother, we haven't told her, she doesn't know, and we don't know how to tell her. Okay. And maybe we shouldn't, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever decision you make, Breda, will be the right one. Don't you worry one bit. Whatever decision you make will be the right one. And obviously you're so close to your father and mother, and obviously you're of them. And they were of each other in terms of the love that your father demonstrated so strongly to your mother, and vice versa. The love was generated by something as well. You would, don't be burdening yourself now with decisions that, regardless of which way you make them, no one will ever know whether it was a right or wrong decision. But just be confident in your family strength that you will make the right decision about telling your mother or not telling her. Breda, stay well if you can. Look after yourself in these awful, awful times. Thanks, Breda. Anya, good afternoon. You were listening to Patricia McGowan, Director of Nursing in the Nightingale Nursing Home in Ahaskar and Ballinasloe. They are in dreadful, dreadful straits. Most of the staff are down with COVID. 22 of the 24 residents have COVID positive tested. One resident died this morning. They are bereft of staff, one nurse and one carer, and begging for help. Anya, you're based where?
I'm based just outside Portumna in East Galway.
Okay, and you work in the operating theatre in Ballinasloe.
I work in the operating theatre in Ballinasloe, but I currently work 30 hours a week, so I'm off one day every week, and I'm more than happy to help Patricia. And I also have nursing home experience. I worked in the nursing home in Portumna, in the retirement village in Portumna, which is an absolutely stellar nursing home, fantastic nursing home. So I have experience from there, and I'd be more than happy to help Patricia. But as I said to your researcher, I'm not so sure where it stands for us in that situation. If I was willing to help Patricia, how I can still work in my own department. So I'm not sure where the HSE stand on that. And if I can recall correctly from the first lockdown that we had, and the first time they talked about COVID and nursing home help, we were asked if we would like to give assistance. And it was on a voluntary basis, as you said, that's correct. But I'm not sure if you go to that facility and work there, can you also return and work in your own hospital on your time? Like, my commitment is to Ballinasloe, to the operating theatre. I do one night call every week. I'm on call tomorrow night. We provide a maternity service, so we provide maternity service overnight as well. So that's my first commitment is to Port Yonkta.
But you're saying, as of this afternoon, you are willing to tell your superiors in the HSE, your HSE employee,
I am,
that you are willing to volunteer to go and help out at the Nightingale Nursing Home.
Yeah, and it's on my days off.
Yeah, okay. Now, if they said to you, we are willing to release you for a number of weeks into this nursing home, I don't want to get into the ins and outs of it on you, but...
That then puts a pressure on my own department. Like, we are very short-staffed as it is. We have people off sick as well. So when we cover, and we have an on-call service, we have three nurses on call every night.
I just want to go straight to, stay with us, Anya, because there's some press conference.
And that is not what the Director of Nursing is saying. She says that they were asked to go and get agency nurses. There were none, and there is nothing. She's crying. They're helpless. They're sitting there saying, we're trying to save people's lives, their mothers, their fathers, and so on. And they're saying, we're looking for something. We feel abandoned. We feel lost. We feel we're in the middle of the country, and nobody is listening. And they've been onto the HSE right up until I came into this room. Uh-huh. It's so different to what you're saying.
It is, and George, I spoke to the CEO of the hospital group myself just before lunch, so I am assured that there is a nurse from Roscommon Hospital there doing, because the night shift was a concern, and that there are also some care staff. So I suppose I'm just giving the version that I've been assured by our services. Equally, I'm assured that our chief officer and our group CEO are working very closely, and they're working very closely and guided by public health, and that the Director of Nursing is on site there this afternoon.
The second question, sorry.
That's a bit cheeky, no, George.
Well, no, it's just for elaboration, but my second question is really to Paul. Paul, last week you described how difficult it was with the record number of contact tracing calls of 23,000. You also described how the average level of close contacts per case was 5.2.
Okay. That was George Lee. We just came in. George was asking, had obviously been listening to Liveline and was putting what he heard from Patricia McGowan to the HSE spokesperson. And I came on quickly there. Like, what Patricia McGowan was saying to us for half an hour, beginning at 1:45 to 16 minutes past two, is completely at odds with what the HSE are saying now. The tone is completely at odds with what the HSE are now saying. And I think they mentioned our care staff had come in from Roscommon Hospital. As of now, Patricia said, as she was speaking, there are two staff in that nursing home. All the other staff have tested positive. 22 out of the 24 residents have tested positive. They got help last night for a night shift. That was to let the two staff who were there today go home to their beds if they could sleep, which I doubt, after a 13-hour shift on their own yesterday. Two care staff, a nurse and a carer, looking after 22 people who, remember, have been tested positive, and they know it, obviously, they're informed, and to know that so many of them have tested positive, and also that so many of the staff are gone. So that is an absolute... Now, I think George, what Fergus is telling me, George, in his opening question, tried to convey the passion and the import of what Patricia was saying on this programme. But it still hasn't failed to land on the HSE who are being defensive. But that's for other people to judge later on this afternoon. But then again, when push comes to shove, it's not about the HSE, whether they're defensive or whatever, because anyway, it's not about that. It's about what can be done. As Patricia said, it's not about teleconferences talking. It's about action this afternoon. But Anya, you're saying... you're saying as one nurse, I don't, by the way, in terms of, I thought there was one stipulation to HSE, if you volunteered, you could only volunteer, you could not be forced to go into a private nursing
home. That's correct.
And
but
is there
if you
any,
volunteer, yes. can you, if you volunteer to work in another department, i.e. a nursing home, do you have to stay working there, or can you volunteer to work there on your time off?
You're
a bit amazed. You're a bit amazed that a nurse is doing a 13-hour shift. Every single nurse.
I know the way it works for 13
yes,
hours. But whatever.
Well, I go in tomorrow at 11 o'clock for a 26-hour shift. So we go in for 26 hours tomorrow. So, you know, the shifts that nurses put in are quite long.
Absolutely.
You know, 13 is only the start of it.
Yeah.
So.
And then there's another. I take that point so strongly. But Anya, are you? If the HSE said to you, "Okay, we're willing to release you," you'd still be an employee of a theatre nurse in Ballinasloe, Port Unclow, whatever, but we're prepared to release you in this crisis situation into the Nightingale nursing home until the situation can be somehow resolved.
Yeah, but then I let my own department down.
I know.
That's the problem.
I'm
happy to work there. I'm sure there are lots of nurses, even in my own department, that would happily help if you were allowed to do it on your days off. I can't ring my department and say I can't cover calls tomorrow night. Okay. Somebody else has to cover. So that's not fair on my department. And that's my first commitment.
I understand that, Anya, yeah.
But I'm very willing to help when I'm available to help, and I'm sure there are lots of nurses out there. You know, you know, going back and forth from the HSE and who said.
At the moment, you have 24
residents looking for care. You know, so you know, it doesn't matter who says what, really.
Yeah,
it's about getting feet on the ground and someone who can care for people.
Okay. Well said, Anya, and thanks again. And I hope something can come of this. As I say, you.
So do I.
Thanks, Anya. Anya is a theatre nurse in Ballinasloe near the Nightingale home in Ahaskra. Rachel Doyle. Rachel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What's your situation, Rachel?
I have a sister in a nursing home with an acquired brain injury.
Right.
I have got to see her, but lately the visits have been just behind a door with my sister in a wheelchair. The laptop. She has to hold the laptop on the other side and tries to speak to us that way. But she can't hold the laptop because she's got a weakness due to her injury. So the nurse has to stand by, or one of the carers have to stand by and hold it there while she's talking to us. Yeah. But she gets so distressed because she can't understand why I can't go into her.
Yeah.
And she can't come out to me. And she's just been trying to, she tries to get herself up out of the wheelchair to try and get out to me or my brother. To try and see her, and I'm just wondering if someone can explain to me why I can't have a window visit with my sister with the window open. Yeah. Because it's just so distressing for her and so distressing for us.
And I presume the only place your sister can live with support is in a nursing home, obviously.
For now.
And is there any light in terms of the nursing home saying we might be able to do it a different way or different structure?
Because we had to phone up to confirm for a visit today, and they told us that it'd be one person and it'd be for 20 minutes. Yeah. So by the time they bring my sister out, put her in the wheelchair at the door, so you've got the wheelchair.
Yeah.
The door, and we're on the other side, so it's anyway for her to even hear us or see us. And it's for 20 minutes. We can't go to a window with a window open, and I'd like that clarified as to why we can't.
And when is the last time you actually were able to get in to see her?
I tell you what, Joe, she needed some stuff, and I dropped some stuff up on Sunday, and they gave me 5-10 minutes at a side door. And it was just so distressing. That's all I got because, you know, it wasn't a planned visit, but they just knew it would be nice and gave me 5 or 10 minutes. But I swear I'd never do it again because she was all upset and I walked away crying.
Yeah.
It's just heartbreaking because all she keeps doing is waiting for me to come in and I'm trying to tell her through a window as to why I can't. And she just can't understand because of the brain injury. And I don't see why they can't make exceptions, not even an exception, just a window visit with the window a little bit open.
Yeah. Okay, Rachel, let's see. Things are changing pretty quickly, but unfortunately with stories like what's actually happening in Galway at the minute, things are changing for not for the better. Gerard Ahern is retired brigadier in the Defence Forces. Gerard, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. If I could at the start, could I just give my, like many other people, my admiration and thanks for that heroic lady who's the Director of Nursing.
Yeah, Patricia McGowan, an honour staff.
An absolutely heroic lady, fantastic lady.
I mentioned the Army Medical Corps because of this whole stipulation, as Anne pointed out. The HSE cannot force anyone to go into a nursing home from their many staff. They can ask for volunteers. And the Army Medical Corps, who are qualified. Now, what is the situation as you're up to date on, Gerard, with the Army Medical Corps helping?
Well, all elements of the Defence Forces have been centrally involved in responding to the state and the citizens' needs in the HSE and the hospitals since the pandemic started, Joe. All elements of the Defence Forces have, as they always have been.
Yes,
they have never, ever let down the state. But, you know, what has to be realised at this stage is that you know, the resources of the Defence Forces are finite for a number of reasons. First of all, the Defence Forces is 1,000 short strength-wise of its allowed strength of 9.5.
Is there an Army Medical Corps at the moment?
Yes, there is, but it was reduced by one-third in 2012.
How many are in it? Do we know?
They would be two medical companies where there was three, and you would have the depot and the school in the Curragh.
Okay, so the medical field companies, how many soldiers do they comprise of?
They would be, if they were at full strength. About 85 to 90 per medical company. But one of those was disbanded in 2012.
But we would have about 200 qualified medical personnel in the medical corps.
Between 28, about 200 are there, but remember, Joe, that there is a proportion of them in places like South Lebanon, on the Golan Heights, and in different parts of the world. And there are people who are there and who are currently in training to go there. So the number of people who deploy, but what I'm saying is that the Defence Forces will always deploy fully in the interest of the citizens and the state, but it is a more finite resource than was there in the past. It will always be given fully what the resources are, but it's a finite resource at this stage.
But it is a resource. That's my point.
And absolutely. But they are deployed, Joe, in all aspects.
Okay.
The Army, Air Corps, and Naval Service, all aspects of the Defence Forces are currently deployed on COVID-related issues. The Defence Forces formed a specialised unit to oversee the delivery of the resources of the
logistics was incredible.
Absolutely.
I know that for a
Absolutely.
Fact. I know that for a fact. And everyone. But if Army medics were told this afternoon, you have to go to a Haskra, to the Nightingale Nursing Home, I presume they would go.
Subject to their ability, of course they would go.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Of course. They have never let down the citizens or the state. The Defence Forces never have.
But does the Defence Forces move that quickly?
It moves with absolute quickness. But, I mean, the question has to be asked, has the resources been asked for in the first place? I don't know. I can't answer. And secondly, if they have, in what strength could they go? As I said, it's a far more finite resource now than it was in previous decades because of what happened in 2012 when the reorganisation of the Defence Forces reduced the capacity of the Defence Forces, particularly in these support areas to respond.
Okay, but this is an emergency. This is a developed country. This is a developed, educated country that has now got one nursing home, as far as we know, this afternoon, with 22 out of 24 residents have been diagnosed COVID positive. The majority of staff have been diagnosed COVID positive, with the result that there's only a carer and a nurse on duty as we speak for 13 hours today. They were on for 13 hours yesterday, and they need help urgently.
But the Defence Forces, as I said to you, will respond.
Okay. I want to go to Dr. Martin Daly. Say there, retired Brigadier Gerard O'Hearn. Martin, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Martin here.
Yeah, how are you? I don't know whether you're up to your eyes, but I don't know whether you heard Patricia McGowan, who basically backed up everything you said earlier when you were speaking to Claire Bourne. Do you know, as it's now 10 to 3, it was about half, I think your tweet was 11, half 11, was it? Was it early?
Yes, around that time,
What has been the response, Martin?
Well, firstly, can I just say that the tweet was a tweet in desperation.
Yeah, I know.
It was a pity that it came to that, but cutting to the chase, what has happened since then is that I have to pay tribute to our local representatives, Deputy Michael Fitzmaurice, Deputy Dennis Nocton, and Deputy Claire Curran. They've raised this issue at the highest levels. Minister Donnelly has directed that nursing staff and support staff from Roscommon University Hospital support the nursing home for the next 3 days until more arrangements can be put into place, because they will need to be put into place. But what's really heartwarming is that there has been a community response as well. And many nurses who are off duty, who aren't working or on holidays this week, have offered their services to the nursing home in its need. I suppose this is not what we should be relying upon. This should have been planned for, and it's a pity that it came to this and that it required this level of media attention in order to effect a response.
And is your understanding When you say the Minister, Stephen Donnelly, said Roscommon Hospital has been instructed, has anyone arrived on site? Any extra people?
I've spoken at this moment, no, but I spoke to Patricia McGowan's partner in the nursing home, Maureen Healy, and she has told me that help is coming, and they are still under enormous pressure, but they are now, the pressure has been relieved on them, that they feel that they are being supported and that their situation has been recognised.
Because Patricia was hoping, well, you know, she was told that there was two HSE personnel arriving this morning at 9 o'clock, and unfortunately, they didn't show for whatever reason, and that can never be predicted in that sense. But she was hoping at least at 3 o'clock, HSE one person from the HSE might arrive. Is that what you're aware of?
No, my awareness is. Simply the message that, from Deputy Dennis Nocton is that Minister Donnelly has directed that staff be redeployed to support the nursing home in the provision of care to these vulnerable residents and so that they can be carried through the next 3 days. And that, I hope, will give an opportunity for a more prolonged response to allow this nursing home to recover from this outbreak of COVID. And hopefully, without any more loss of life.
I'm reading off a screen here. I'm told the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, says infection control teams and staff were deployed to a nursing home. That tallies, as far as I can work it out, with what Patricia said on Monday. An infection control officer came and explained to them how to use sanitizers and two squirts instead of one. But it's not what they needed. They need boots on the ground, as Patricia says.
Yes.
And the Minister is also saying, as a quote here, comments made in the Dáil this morning were factually incorrect and spread fear and anxiety very wrongly in the community. Is there fear and anxiety in your community? Is that the issue?
No, there's no fear and there's no anxiety, but there is measured apprehension.
Of course.
There's anxiety and fear in the nursing home.
I know Michael Fitzmaurice spoke in the Dáil, but do you agree that he spread fear and anxiety wrongly?
No, he was right to raise it. These are people, vulnerable people who live in a nursing home, who are very well cared for in a very fine setting, who live lives within their nursing home. They read, they watch television, they listen to the radio. They have a right to life. They have a right to be looked after by the state. They've given their lives to the state. And at this moment of peril, they deserved intervention from the state. That nursing home is a well-run nursing home. I've been visiting it for 25 years. They ask for help from the state, and there's some disconnect between the state and private nursing homes that sees them as some different class of citizen and that they can float their boat on their own. And this was one of the problems in March, April and May, because there was this disconnect between the state and the private nursing home sector. They really need to see those residents as citizens of the state who are deserving to be looked after in their advanced years.
And is it, when you say that they're seen as a different class of citizen by the state, do you mean because they're in a private nursing home and private nursing homes are outside the realm of the state? Well, the state don't have to pay for them, for a start. I know the Fair Deal does for a lot of people. But what do you mean by you're seen as a different class of citizen?
What I mean is that the state has, over the last couple of decades, contracted care to the private nursing home sector to look after people in their advanced years who need nursing care and be looked after in nursing care setting. What I'm saying is that there's a suggestion, once they have done that and paid their piece, that they're in some way disconnected, that the private nursing homes can look after everything else in terms of care. And what we know is that this pandemic is an unprecedented challenge in terms of managing people. So no one could have predicted that you have a situation that so many residents have come down being COVID positive and can become so ill within their age group at risk of death. And that is unprecedented, and that requires an unprecedented response by the state and not some suggestion that this can be managed at arm's length.
And the fact that I don't think there's any other example of a nursing home that has been hit so dramatically, so quickly, Dr. Daly, in terms of the percentage of residents, well over 95-96% have tested positive for COVID, and the majority of staff have tested positive as well. This is a an unprecedented shock in a world that we thought was beyond shockability this year. You must have got a terrible when you got the news what was happening. What was your own reaction?
My own reaction was one of disbelief, speaking to the nurse in charge this morning, one of desperation because she was under so much pressure.
Yeah.
But I think what it does reflect is that the community spread of this virus is far more prevalent than it was in March, April and May. And we're seeing in our own practice much more increased numbers of positive testing and COVID cases in the community than we saw in March, April and May. We were in a rural area. We were well insulated from the big pockets of outbreaks in the city.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't seen this level of outbreak previously. And I think it's just reflected that this virus is out in the community. And if it gets into a nursing home, it will cause devastation.
So level five, as far as you're, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Martin, but level five is, as far as you're concerned, is totally justified.
Absolutely warranted.
Okay. Martin, Godspeed your work, you and all your colleagues down there in East Galway. And I'll finish on the latest HICWA report from the Nightingale Nursing Home in East Galway in Ahaskra. And you heard Patricia McGowan, the Director of Nursing, plead for help. But this is what the latest HICWA report says about that wonderful nursing home. It's a private nursing home. Residents told the inspectors the staff were kind and respectful. This was seen in the case of all interactions observed between staff and residents on the day of the inspection. Residents spoke with expressed satisfaction with the level of social engagement throughout the day. One resident said there was always plenty to do, always something going on. It's great. Inspectors observed the meal time to be relaxed and a social occasion. Meals appeared to be appetising and nutritious. Residents' relatives were complimentary of the level of communication and visiting arrangements in the centre. One resident told the inspectors, "Here in the Nightingale Nursing Home, where all our thoughts are this afternoon, all our listeners' thoughts and a lot more, this is what one relative told the inspectors from the state. I have no concerns. The residents here are very well looked after. It's a lovely place to visit."